Blog Talk Radio.
52-yard try from the near hash mark to tie the game. 5 seconds left. Reyes the holder. Burns the snapper. It's back. Hold down. Kick is up. And it's plenty long. It's good! It's good! The Raiders have tied this game. They've come back from 38-7 down and sending it to overtime.
Crabtree on the jailbreak. Here he goes. The 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. Forget it. 5. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
High snap, but he gets it away cleanly, although it's a wobbly kick. Morris takes it as 14. Sidestep one defender. He's got room to the 25, 30, 35, 40. Just a kicker to beat. The 40, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
8 seconds left. They got one timeout, so there's time to make one play to the middle of the field and call a timeout to set up a try, a field goal try. So Harrell in the shotgun from the 28 to throw. Goes to the right side for Crabtree. It's caught.
Oh, he breaks. Touchdown, Red Raider.
Unbelievable.
Michael Crabtree has done it. Michael Crabtree makes the catch at the 5, breaks the tackle, and scores.
There's still 1 second on the clock for Texas Tech. Unbelievable, Michael Crabtree.
Oh, my gosh, can you believe that?
What is up, everybody? What's going on? Welcome into another edition of the Victory Bells podcast. Haven't done this since the holidays have been over, so hope everybody has had a good transition back into things. Everybody would always like a little more time off than they got, but with that said, Matt, I guess right now we're jumping back into the next cycle of the recruiting period, really the last part of the recruiting cycle for all these 2015 kids, as we're recording this on Thursday, and this is the first day of the contact period, which means we've got about 15, 16 days, well, I guess about 20 days or so until signing day. Coach is back out on the road and back out seeing kids again, and hearing a little bit as soon as he calls in and we get him on. We're going to be talking to Tech commit Lonzel Gilmore from spring, defensive end, who saw some of the Tech coaches today, saw a couple other coaches from a couple other schools today, so we're excited to talk to him. But Matt, I guess first off, man, before we hear from him, I guess just your kind of thoughts on as we kind of enter the home stretch here with only a couple weeks to go before signing day.
Man, I mean, thoughts are that, we talked about it a little bit last time, and we've shown it, in our coverage a little bit on the boards, but there's, now 9 to 10, really plus spots to fill. I mean, 9 and 10 means we're just working off of 25, but we've seen a lot of attrition from last offseason and already into this offseason to where the coaches should be able to squeeze, I'm guessing here, always with scholarship numbers, but anywhere, from another 1 to 3 prospects, if they're the right prospects into this class. So there's a lot of work to do, but it's exciting because it's not like a visit in August or a visit in September. I mean, these January visits mean that these kids are clearly interested, the coaches are interested, and we're less than a month away from National Signing Day. So, you're going to see some things happen fairly quickly. You're going to see a lot of new names, and, it's going to be hectic, but I think that they're going to continue adding multiple commitments as we go here through the next few weeks.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, this is so different than any other visit throughout the year because as a coaching staff, you're trying to close the deal, basically. Mm-hmm. You're trying to say, look, this is good, we're trying to fill this position, we want you, and you're really just trying to finish things off. So, I'm really excited to see what happens with these last 9, 10, 11 spots, like you said, depending on how the coaching staff kind of decides, like you said, based off the attrition numbers from last year and this year, as, of course, today, looking at the new Tech roster, there's a handful of guys that aren't returning. So you got a couple more spots I think you can work with, and you kind of see if you can move Braden Fajoco's scholarship around to last year. I think he was an early enrollee. So, you could end up with, you know, 26, 27, 28, kind of depending on how things work out number-wise. But I guess just kind of looking at the first places that the coaches kind of stopped at, I think the most obvious two things you really want to look at is, first, you know, where is new defensive coordinator David Gibbs go today? And then the second thing you want to look at is where is Cliff Kingsbury at today? You know, Coach Kingsbury and Coach Morris have been in Dallas-Fort Worth. You know, they've been to Allen, they've been to Skyline, they've been to Arlington, Bowie, and a couple other schools. And then Coach Gibbs is in Houston. He's already seen several Texas defensive commits. So I think it's pretty clear where they want to start this thing off with, and if they want to solidify all their defensive guys and kind of have basically a meet and greet with Coach Gibbs now officially and basically in his working capacity now as a defensive coordinator. And then Coach Kingsbury up in Dallas trying to get in with a couple more kids. And there's actually one more kid they've actually started talking to today. I guess we can kind of riff on him for a minute. But actually, we just got Lonzell to call in, so we'll come back to that in a minute. But yeah, like I said, spring defensive end and tech commit Lonzell Gilmore, he now joins us. So I guess, first off, man, just kind of how you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Well, good deal. I guess, you know, man, it's been a busy couple weeks for you. I know that today's been especially busy for you with both Tech and the Baylor coaches stopping by. But I guess, first off, man, just kind of talk about the Tech coaches stopping by, hearing from them, and what do you think about that, and especially getting to meet Coach Gibbs for the first time.
Oh, man, actually, I met up with Coach Gibbs back at U of H when I went to one of the camps.
Right.
But, yeah, to actually meet him and all the coaches, it just felt like a good feeling, you know, like these coaches really want me, and I guess it's a blessed feeling to have that.
Right. And I guess just who else was with him today besides Coach Gibbs? I guess kind of what other coaches were there too?
Besides Coach Gibbs, it was also D-line coach from Baylor, Coach it's on the tip of my tongue, but I remember him. And also the secondary coach from Nebraska came to see me.
Okay. Okay, cool. I guess going back to Coach Gibbs for a minute, man, just what he kind of had to say on y'all's kind of conversation today and just kind of all the things he had to say to you, man.
I mean, he was very upfront with me, you know. He told me, you know, basically how I wouldn't need me for what and, you know, how I could do what I could do. Just show me basically that I have a good chance to be somebody. Like, he tried to make me somebody.
Well, hey, Lonzell, this is Matt, you know, and we'd been texting earlier. I just wanted to let you know I was on the line. But going back to Coach Gibbs, you said you met him at a UH camp. Obviously, Coach Gibbs coming in as a new defensive coordinator, but you've spent a lot of time building relationships with Coach Curtis along the way, who's your lead recruiter, and you've obviously built a relationship with Coach Smith. But, you know, from already knowing Coach Gibbs and kind of knowing what he did at UH and coaching in the NFL, you know, what were your impressions of him? And as he said, you know, he can make you, you know, really kind of develop you into something in Texas Tech. What are your thoughts on all that?
I'm really excited, you know. It all been one of my dreams to play college football, and the fact that I got an opportunity, especially to be in the Big 12 and do it, you know, because the Big 12 is more of a pass rushing league. So I'm pretty sure it fit me well. And plus, just the excitement and enthusiasm all the coaches have just brings me up.
Okay. And I know that, you know, you've been very active in talking with other commits and proud of your commitment, you know, here lately. Are you pretty excited to get up there this weekend and finally get to see everything up close?
Yeah, I'm really excited. All the talk on Twitter just got me hype. I'm ready.
Okay. What are you looking forward to the most?
I guess the surroundings, you know, like, you know, how the people is towards me.
Okay, cool. Well, I guess, like you said, man, you've kind of gone to know some of the other commits. So, you know, obviously with Brady Fajoco, another guy that's going to be a defensive lineman, already being up there for a couple weeks, I guess, have you kind of talked to him at all since he's moved up there? And I guess what do you kind of think about getting to see him and maybe a couple of the other guys that are committed this weekend?
Wait, what Coach Green says? I couldn't hear.
I'm sorry, man. I said, just what do you kind of think about Brady Fajoco? You know, he's another guy that's committed. and is actually already signed with Tech. So how much have you guys been kind of keeping in touch, and just kind of how excited are you to get to see him and a couple of the other commits this weekend?
Yeah, Brent, basically, you know, we talk here and there on Twitter, but you know, from seeing his Twitter and how he acts and how he responds to me and all that, I'm pretty sure we're going to have a good relationship. I'm ready to have a relationship with him.
Okay.
Well, cool.
And then, you know, as Coach Gibbs was being introduced, and, you know, he's still a new coach to all of us as well, and we're doing our homework, but he mentioned that, you know, he was asked the age-old question, you know, do you run a 4-3, do you run a 3-4? And he said, I run multiple defenses, and especially talking about your position, which is defensive end, he said that my outside defensive ends, you know, they're either going to be standing up or they're going to have a hand in the ground, so it's going to kind of vary. Did you guys talk about that, and you know, how do you think that kind of fits your skill set?
Yeah, we talked about it. Today, matter of fact, we talked about it. And I feel like that's right for me because, you know, even at high school, I was both ways. I was either a three-point
right.
stance or in a major long situation, I just was two-point stance at rush.
Okay.
Okay.
And then,
cool.
You know, go ahead, Will. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Matt. You're good.
Well, and obviously, you know, you got to meet with Coach Gibbs today. You're headed to Tech this weekend, and we've talked to you about Tech a whole bunch, but the news last night was that you received another Big 12 offer from Baylor, and then those coaches were in to see you today. You know, what were those guys saying to you, and I guess kind of, you know, how does that, if at all, you know, affect your status with Texas Tech?
Basically, you know, he told me why the offer came late, and, you know, like you know, how like I was one of the first ones on the board, so they contacted me first. But even though I talked to Baylor and I talked to Tech, basically what makes my decision is the visit this weekend.
Okay. So what you're saying is if you feel comfortable with everything, then you're good with Tech, or is that fair to say?
Not exactly. I think I need to do some research because I haven't really looked much into Baylor because I didn't know at first. But basically, mm-hmm. with a bit of research, and yeah.
Okay, so a possible visit there later in the month, then, too?
Probably.
Okay.
All right, well, cool. Well, man, I think, you know, that's all I had to ask. Matt, you got anything else?
No, man, we just wanted to follow up with you, especially Coach Gibbs stopping by today, just ask a few questions, and, you know, certainly congrats on all the new interest and congrats on everything else, man. We will follow up with you after the visit and get your opinion on everything.
Yes, sir.
All right, thanks for joining us,
man.
Thanks
so much for joining us, man.
All right, no problem.
All right, later, man. Well, cool. That was spring defensive end Tech commit Lonzell Gilmore, and like he just said, and we already talked about it a little bit, and he obviously did, had several coaches there today, Baylor. I think obviously, like he said, he really wants to get up to Tech this weekend for his visit and basically just kind of get a feel for things, how he feels things are. And then it sounds to me like he'll probably end up taking a visit to Baylor here in the next week or two.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, you can't fault him for that, and at the time
he
didn't have that all. I just think it's kind of rings true to what we just talked about to open up the podcast today is that, you know, it's for lack of a better term, it's kind of nut-cutting time, you know. It's less than a month away from signing day, so you're going to see a bunch of new offers. You're going to see people coming after your commits. You're going to see possibly your commits going elsewhere. I mean, none of this stuff is new, and the coaches are going to have to get Lonzell on that visit and really kind of, you know, reaffirm his choice and, you know, make sure they hold on to him here over the next few weeks. But, hey, I mean, you know, it's Tech doing that same thing to other recruits and making those late offers and persuading them to come. So, you know, you got to play the game and you got to hold on to what's yours. So, you know, it sounds like there'll be a battle there. But also, you know, it does kind of validate the type of player that he is. And he's going to be one of those kids that has that 6'4", 220 frame, very athletic, who can kind of grow into, you know, really like a Pete Robertson type or even maybe someone bigger. You know, we'll have to see what they do with him and see kind of what happens over these next few weeks.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think we've talked about it a lot on this podcast before, but obviously you and I both were at the Houston Westfield camp that he participated in back in June, and he was one of the, in my opinion, he was the best outside linebacker slash defensive prospect there by quite a ways. And I think he really impressed the coaches, and they really wanted to kind of see his senior year and kind of see where things went with him, but was always impressed with how smooth he moved and how flexible he was for an athlete of his size. So I think you're seeing, like you said, you're seeing some of the things validated about him with that Baylor offer coming in. And just like you said, you know, Tech's obviously going to be trying to, you know, do the same thing to other commits that Baylor's trying to do with Gilmore. And I think you looking at the visit list this weekend, you see two examples of that in Dallas Hillcrest athlete Rico Evans, who's committed to Kansas, and then Alabama, I guess Adamsville minor Alabama corner Mari Smitherman, who's committed to Mississippi State. So, you know, it's the exact same thing going on there. Tech's trying to flip both those kids. But yeah, I think it helps Tech that, you know, they were on him so much earlier probably than Baylor. And I think it also helps that there will be guys like Braden Fajoco, who's already obviously enrolled, and a couple other commits up there this weekend. So, I just think there will be a lot of good as far as for Tech this weekend on his visit. But we'll see where things go. Moving on, kind of like I was already talking on a little bit, but with the visitor list this weekend, obviously there's about seven or eight guys coming in this weekend, including Lonzell. Then you look at Darian Jackson, who's another Tech commit, and then the other three guys we haven't talked about yet would be Ringling, Oklahoma, offensive guard Riley Daniel, and then Shreveport, Louisiana, Woodlawn corner Henry Black, and Hawaiian offensive guard Semesi Uluwabe. So that's kind of who's on the docket so far, I guess. Who's anybody that you kind of want to talk about first there, Matt?
I mean, we can just kind of go down the list, I guess. I mean, we could start with Rico.
All right.
You know, I think that's another one of these kids we talk about that's the late bloomer type. You know, he when the last dead period opened is when a lot of his offers started coming through, and he's going to take the visit to Texas Tech. He's going to visit Arkansas, and he's also going to visit TCU this month. So, you know, it's going to be a battle for a kid like that. And even when we had talked last time, his connection to Texas Tech were the Skyline kids. You know, he's friends with Derek Dixon, or friends, you know, not to what extent, I'm not sure, you know, best buddies or, you know, acquaintances, but, you know, Strickland, Kylan Johnson, Derek Dixon, he knew those guys. But he's going through the visit. Coach Spav was in Dallas today meeting with him. And,
right.
You know, both Coach Spavital and Coach Gibbs said that they wanted more defensive backs. So Arico's listed as an athlete, played quarterback, played wide receiver, played safety, very similarly to a Kylan Johnson, but has the bigger body type that the coaches are looking for at that safe position. So that's what they'll be looking for there. He's got one of his coaches is, you know, very close with David Beatty, who actually coached at Irving MacArthur back in the day. Well, not really, not too long ago. And so there's the connection there. But again, he could visit Tech, Arkansas, or TCU and decide, hey, you know, I want to make my own decision. So, you know, he's certainly in the running, and you've got a shot there, but, you know, albeit a yet to be determined type of shot.
Right, right. Yeah, I think that's going to be that'll be one that's down the line, like you said, going to take several visits. So, still a ways to go with that one. excuse me. Then you look at Honolulu Punahou, I believe is how you pronounce it. I nailed it. For offensive guard, Semesi Uluwabe. I think with him visiting this weekend, obviously he's really, really good buddies with Brayden. I think that's kind of the big sticking point there. And I know he really, really loves the coaching staff. Got to talk to them for a while whenever they went out there for their in-home visits out in Hawaii back in December. So I think it'll be interesting to see where he goes. I think it'll be Tech, UCLA, or Oregon. He's also saying maybe Cal. His visit there on the 30th is kind of up in the air right now. But obviously the interesting thing that's come out of this over the last week or two is that he's decided he's going to take his two-year Mormon mission right out of high school. So whoever lands him won't get him for 2 years basically, and it's not exactly a binding agreement, so that's kind of still up in the air. So you kind of wonder, you know, does Tech, you know, still would they be happy? Obviously, I think they'd still be happy to add him, but do they really move him more towards a 2015 target instead of a 2015 target and not count him towards 2015? I think that situation is just pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's obviously fluid, and it's just going to be one of those things where, I mean, is it something they do often? No. But they think enough of him as a prospect, and they've been recruiting him long enough to where they're going to go through the visit, and, you know, if he ends up digging Texas Tech, then, you know, they would welcome him with open arms. I know there's been a lot of discussion on, you know, what's binding or what would happen, but, you know, for me, this recruiting stuff's a year-by-year type of deal. If we want to look at 2017, then I would then say to that point, okay, well, then let's turn the clock back to 2013 and see what offensive linemen were taking then and what they're doing now. It's so fluid and so fickle at times to where you've got to just trust their evaluations and what they're going to do here. But this is one of those visits that's been set up for a while. He was originally going to visit for the Kansas game and had to postpone
right.
because of playoffs, and I'm sure this has been on the calendar for a while. So I don't think anything was contingent on him, you know, being a Mormon or not, or going on a mission. But, you know, this is a
no.
kid where you're battling Oregon and UCLA. So any talk of wasted resources or why are they doing that, I mean, none of that makes sense to me. I mean, this is clearly a coveted recruit from, you know, numerous programs across the country. This isn't like we're battling BYU for a overly religious Mormon guy. So anyway,
yeah.
I just think that there's a lot being played on that right now versus just kind of looking at the player and seeing kind of what you can get there. And I think you commented on it as well. You know, there's nothing set in stone that he's doing everything that he's doing either right away or for X amount of years or what he's doing. I mean, all that's kind of fluid. And I think the coaches will do their best and they know what they need to get numbers wise in terms of being back out on the road and looking at other offensive lineman targets.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess just kind of moving down the list here, moving on to, like you said, Adamsville, Minor, Alabama, corner. Mari Smitherman, who's a Mississippi State commit. I'll kind of let you riff on this one, Matt. I know you know more than I do about the situation, so I'll just kind of let you kind of break it down first.
Well, with Maurice, I mean, it's just like I had mentioned in the story, the defensive coordinator for Mississippi State, who was his lead recruiter, and, you know, from since he was being recruited by them last spring until when he committed and throughout the summer and the fall, he left and became the defensive coordinator at Florida. He's heard a little bit from Florida, but nothing serious. And then he decided, you know what, I like Mississippi State, but I want to see what my options are. And as that was kind of going through his head, he got a phone call, or his coaches did, from Coach Curtis, and kind of things started from there. And it's a new relationship, but he thought enough of Coach Curtis and the opportunity to, you know, hop on a plane this weekend and come check out Texas
right.
Tech. He's also going to be visiting South Carolina, and you may run into one of those deals where an Alabama kid wants to be in the Southeast and play in the SEC, and he very well could just end up staying with Mississippi State. It's like we said in reference with Gilmore, you know, and going back and looking at Delphine taking a trip to Tennessee and Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of these might just be to kind of validate their decisions, but in the end of the day, you know, if you just look at it from a Texas Tech standpoint, this is a kid with, I want to say, well over 25 offers.
Yeah.
Ideal kind of height and speed for your smaller cover corner, very similar to a Nigel Bethel type player. And that's really what Coach Curtis likes is the guys that can kind of, they're athletic and fast enough to stay out there for that, you know, high tempo and, you know, high powered offenses in the Big 12 where, you know, you could be covering a guy who runs four straight go patterns and, you know, then you got to
mm-hmm.
come back for more. So those are the kids they're looking at and, you know, he seems interested enough in my opinion. Does he become a Red Raider? I would be surprised, but then again, I'd like to talk to him after his visit and kind of see, you know, where his head's at and what he thought, because for me, I just try to put myself in the shoes of a kid from Alabama, you know, in Texas, you know what
yeah.
Texas Tech is, or even some Texas kids don't even have an idea about Lubbock because they've never been there, and then compare that to a kid from Alabama. So, you know, it's a significant, you know, location factor and, you know, it's different, but Coach Curtis has him kind of sold on the idea that Big 12 is a passing league and he could make a name for himself making plays. So we'll just have to see how that
yeah.
plays out.
And I will almost bet my bottom dollar that he will be hosted by fellow Alabamian Tevin Madison this weekend.
I think that's
his visit. And I would say that would be kind of the most interesting thing to me about this whole situation is a kid that, you know, started some and played a ton in the Big 12 from Alabama as a true freshman last year, you know, how much would a kid like Smitherman listen to him? Because, you know, they're basically, it would be the same kind of situation, essentially. So I'll be interested to see what happens as far as that goes, as far as what Tevin will likely have to say to Maurice. So that's interesting, and he's kind of the curveball recruit kind of coming in this weekend out of all of them. Moving on to another corner, that'd be Shreveport, Louisiana, Woodlawn corner, Henry Black, and he was actually a participant in the Longview camp this last summer, and I got to see him in action a little bit, and I was really impressed with him. He's a pretty, I wouldn't say like a big kid, but he's a really well-built kid for a corner. Well, I say that. He's about 6 foot, 6 foot one, so he is a pretty big kid for a corner, but good-looking prospect, has some nice hops, can really get up, moves really smooth. But I think at that point, I think Tech got kind of, they were very interested in him, and they kept tabs on him. And I think this is really one where the fact that Coach Gibbs and Coach Spavital had already offered him at Houston and Tech had some interest. I think that's where you get the connection here, and I think that's why Tech ultimately decided to offer him. But yeah, like I said, I was impressed with him this summer at the Longview camp, and really interested to see what kind of comes of this one. He's not a big talker. Henry doesn't really do much media at all, so interested to see where this one kind of goes.
Yeah, no, I was going to say the same thing. I mean, this is going to be another one where either the kid has tons of options to stay in state, or it's going to be another Baylor Tech battle. I've since kind of heard from both sides. You know, obviously he canceled Tech, but it appears he also canceled Baylor back in the day, and there may even be a connection, you know, with a coach at that particular school. But then again, you know, I would be lying if I said that I knew what Coach Gibbs' connections were and what Coach Spavital's connections were, so I don't want to do them or Texas Tech a disservice in this race. But just to say it's going to be another head-to-head, and I've liked what I've seen on film from him. I mean, for me, you know, doing this job and you know, reporting on it's the easy part, but saying, you know, you can go and watch a Chris Boyd or Holden Hill in person, you know, or a PJ and Benzenor and say, wow, you know, that kid's a great defensive back.
Yeah.
You can go watch, you know, the next set of kids, and it's really hard to kind of differentiate the very, very top tier guys with, I guess, the rest. And so, you know, it's a tough task to kind of put up a kid from Alabama against, you know, Henry Black and some of these other kids, including Antoine Stevens, who's getting interest from the Dallas area. So it's really hard for me to say, yes, this guy's better than that guy, or this is a different type of guy. I think at that point in the time, you just have to trust the coaches' evaluations and maybe kind of who they decide to go after the hardest. And I hope I explained that correctly. It's just that, you know, once
you're
at that point, I think you're, you know, you might be kind of drawing straws as to, you know, what kids you get in. I think from there it depends on how you coach them up and how they kind of come in and take command of their own progression as well.
No, for sure. And like you said, I liked him whenever I saw him in person this summer. I just think at that point the Tech had a couple of targets that were in front of him. And here we are today, you know, kind of sitting here with him as kind of one of their, you know, top targets at corner now. So, and another thing, kind of like you said, I don't think we mentioned it. He'll be visiting Baylor next weekend after he visits Tech this weekend. And that's kind of getting interesting here where there's several kids that will be visiting Tech this weekend that will be at Baylor either next weekend or maybe on the 30th. So it's really kind of coming to a one-on-one battle for Tech between three or four kids down here down the stretch. And that includes the next guy we're going to talk about, which is Riley Daniel, who's doing the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, you talked to him most recently, but, you know, the impression I got from him, you know, speaking with him a few times is, you know, he's gotten along pretty well with Coach Hayes. And, you know, I just think that, and this is just my opinion, I don't know the kid very well just from speaking to him twice, but, you know, he's real country, you know, and I think he's under the radar a bit because he goes to, you know, he lives in a small town in Oklahoma and doesn't go to a big, you know, 5-6A school. If he did in Dallas, you know, I do believe the offers would be through the roof. But This is a kid that committed to UH, basically shut it down, and was done. And, you know, just this past week, Max Preps put him second team all small school, and that goes for the nation or the Midlands region,
yeah,
if you will. So you know, yeah, I mean, that's a big deal. And I just think that, you know, he might not jump off the charts on highlights or videos or anything like that, but if there's one coach that I just really have, you know, met and had the opportunity to talk to that's very confident in their evaluations, it's Coach Hayes. And you've seen how much the line has improved, and you get to see some of his coaching style with some of the videos that are out there. And really for me, and maybe you can chime in, but when I talk to kids, I mean, they just love the guy. So for me, you know, I have a lot of confidence when he goes after a kid. And I just know that of all the offensive linemen that we may talk about, you know, throughout this month, they're going after Riley Daniel pretty hard. And what I was kind of driving at,
yeah,
was, you know, he might visit Tech, and you know, we went to school there. We all know Texas Tech. I mean, you know, it's not completely country, but there's that element there. You can drive down the road, go hunting, go fishing, do your thing. You know, it's not too different from Oklahoma, if you will, as compared to maybe a Waco, where it's a private, you know, school with the religious factor,
yeah,
and all that good stuff. You know, it just kind of depends kind of what floats his boat. And he said that he may or may not take that Kansas State visit. So you probably,
yeah,
know more about that. But in my opinion, I just think he fits well at Texas Tech. And you know, I think that will end up being his opinion as well.
Yeah, and I think to touch on Coach Hayes and really his evaluation, which I agree with you, there isn't a coach on staff or many coaches I've met that I would not trust the evaluations more than I trust Coach Hayes' evaluations based off what he's done so far and how he's coached up his kids. But as far as his personality, and it's not just the offensive linemen love his personality, but I think a lot of kids that come in contact with him just really like him a lot. He's very personable. He's a really funny guy. But at the same time, you know, he demands a lot of those kids and really makes them want to work and really wants them to be blue-collar, you know, kind of street maulers, you know, kind of back-alley fighters when it comes to being offensive linemen. And I think kids that really want to, you know, be D1 offensive linemen really kind of thrive off that, and they really want a coach that's going to do that with them. And that's what Coach Hayes wants, and I think Riley likes that a lot, like you said. And like you said, Tech this weekend, Baylor next weekend, and then the Kansas State thing, it's pretty up in the air. To be honest with you, I'd be pretty surprised if he takes a visit to Kansas State, because they really kind of only have gotten in touch with him as far as a legitimate recruiting standpoint in the last 2 weeks. I mean, the day they offered him was the first day I'm pretty sure that a coach other than Blake Seeler from Kansas State had talked to him, you know, from up there. So he didn't seem too keen on that. I might be wrong there, but as far as things stand right now, I think it'll be Tech or Baylor, and I think you have to like where you sit right now. We'll see after this weekend where things kind of go. We've already touched on Lonzale, so I won't talk about that anymore. But I guess the last commit that's coming in this weekend would be Darion Jackson's going to be here this weekend as a safety. And really interested to see if anybody else tries to jump in and try to scoop him up last second. I know Tech's really happy with him, and no, he's excited to get up here and visit.
Yeah, I mean, when we first talked to him, it was all about KU, K-State, and Boise State. And I know he had a chance to visit Boise, but then shortly after that, he committed to Texas Tech. And now he's back in DFW this week before he heads out to Lubbock. And, you know, he's a Dallas, Fort Worth kid and grew
right
up there. So, you know, it's a good pickup from Tech. I really do like his film. And I think that he has a good combination of size and just, I guess, aggressiveness on the field. But, you know, more so than that, just the athleticism and the play on special teams as well. I'll be interested to see what he says after this weekend and, you know, like you said, see kind of who else is putting their hat into the ring. And again, it's just one of those things where, you know, we're going to have kids tell us a whole bunch of new stuff. And but with Darion, I think he's locked in. And I would, you know,
yeah,
to backtrack, I would say the same thing about Lonzale. It's just that, you know, all this is happening pretty quickly, and, you know, I think he would be doing himself a favor just to make sure and kind of go through the motions and do all that stuff. But obviously the Tech coaches have been talking to him for the better part of 6-7 months, and that's going to continue this weekend with the visit and, you know, Coach Gibbs being there first thing today to meet with them. So I think all is well there. Just got to, you know, again, I guess you guys are going to take that with a giant grain of salt because of all the stuff that's gone on versus Baylor this particular recruiting season. So I might be wasting my breath, but I don't know. That's just the final say I had on that one.
No, I agree with you. I agree there. I guess that's it as far as this weekend. I was going to talk a little bit about earlier that before Lonzel called in, a kid that you guys might should, you know, go look up and at least kind of know who he is would be Allen offensive center, offensive guard, Cody Wheeler, who is committed to North Texas. Still don't know a ton about him. I've watched a little bit of his film, but I know that the coaches were there to see him today and see about a couple other kids and know they're at least fit. So depending on how things turn out with Riley Daniel and maybe with Samisi, would be interested to see if Tech goes after Cody Wheeler here, Matt.
Yeah, and I mean, I think with the departures of Trey Keenan and Cody Hayes, I mean, you might even be able to squeeze another one in there. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, having a kid like Samisi not even really be here until 2017, then that might not even really count against your numbers, and you might want a body in there. So I got a chance to talk to Cody, and, you know, I knew just about as much about Cody Wheeler as anyone else who just heard the name today. And I had to get a profile created, you know, shared some messages with them, talked with them this afternoon. One thing about Cody Wheeler is, you know, we just talked about Riley Daniel living in a small town or what if he played 5A, 6A. We kind of always play that game of what if. Well, Cody Wheeler does play in a 6A team, and he's won a couple state championship rings. And he moved from center out to guard and even tackle this season. Because one of the OU commitments, Bobby Evans, was hurt earlier this season. So the coaches really like his versatility. They like his makeup. You know, he's not a finished product by any means. You know, obviously he's, you know, a little bit, I guess, lower on that level, if you will. Mm-hmm. But they like his makeup. They like his body. They like his arms. They feel like they could kind of develop him into a player. But the thing about this kid is that, you know, he grew up a Texas Tech fan. His parents graduated from Tech. He has a cousin at Tech. He was there for the 08 game, the Crabtree catch. Mm-hmm. His parents have held the season tickets. I mean, he's like, I've been to Lubbock so many times, you know. He flat out said if they were to offer, he would commit and then just take a visit this month. So, you know, that's an option. And obviously that's someone that the coaches thought out and they found. But, you know, 6'4", 305 pounds, a kid that could play center, guard, or tackle. And a kid, you know, we say UNT commit, but he's got offers from Colorado State, Fresno State, Yale, so he's smart. You know, New Mexico, Louisiana Lafayette, and Sam Houston State. And he told me just this past month, you know, over the phone and over Twitter, that coaches from SMU, Kansas, and Oregon State have also reached out with new interest. So, you know, we see it every year. We see kids that kind of come out from under a rock or, you know, their recruitment just kind of hits the fast forward button. And I think he certainly fits that mold, but this kid really likes Tech and I haven't even turned on his highlights. So I'm like you, I don't know. I don't know what to say, but clearly the coaches like him if they went out to meet with him today. Basically, that's going to happen pretty quickly. If they turn around this weekend and call him with an offer, then I would expect a new commitment.
Yeah. No, I would too. And I'll say I watched probably, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of his highlight tape earlier, just kind of prepping for the podcast. And I'll say he's a pretty fit kid. He's built. He's pretty beefy as far as kind of how he's built, kind of with low center of gravity, if that kind of makes sense. But real smooth, though. I like what I see, to be honest, but most of his film, actually all of his film, is as a center, so I couldn't tell you what I think of him as a guard or a tackle. I like him as a center, so there's some options there, like you said, with him as far as versatility. So yeah, well, like you said, if something happens this weekend and an offer were to be extended, then there'd be a real quick turnaround on that one. But yeah, I think that's about it as far as today. Is there anything else you want to touch on before we close out as far as recruiting and all this goes?
No, we'll try to get another one of these done, you know, maybe on Wednesday of next week and kind of re-rack on the visits from this weekend and what to expect from next weekend, because there's a few more, you know, targets that are going to be in town too. But I would just expect that every day for there to either be a new target or someone setting up a new visit or somebody you thought that might have not been off on the radar anymore, you know, kind of gets back on. So especially with kind of the wheeling and dealing going around. But we'll just see. I mean, we're trying to keep everything updated in that thread, and, you know, we'll continue to just keep our eyes on what's going on. But, in-home visits, you know, school visits, I mean, it's all going down over the next few weeks, and not to mention on top of that the official visits. So it's going to be an action-packed month.
Absolutely, and it always is, man. Cool. Well, you guys have been listening to the Victory Bells podcast. Thanks again for listening. Hope you guys have a great weekend. I'm Matt. I am Will, and he's Matt. Sorry about that. But like I said, yeah. But like I said, hope you guys have a great weekend.
All right, later.